Episode 248.
I sit down in this class, and day one, I felt like the teacher was speaking directly to me. I mean, he addressed almost every concern I had, and very clearly some very simple solutions of how to fix those problems I was having. And, you know, it was a 3-day class. So just day one, I came away with the answers to probably 50% of the things that were holding me back.
Welcome, aftermarketers, to Remarkable Results Radio. Listen to learn just one thing from today's episode on your journey to remarkable results. Welcome, aftermarketers, throughout North America and around the world to a service professional entrepreneur interview with Tom Lambert. Carm Capriotto here, your host. Tom has a great story that started when he was asked at 18 years old to manage his father's shop. Now, this episode is presented by Federal Mogul Motor Parts. They are the reason you enjoy these great aftermarket interviews. When you need innovation and quality, you need Federal Mogul Motor Parts. Brands like Moog, Felpro, Wagner Brake, Anco, Champion, Seal Power, FP Diesel, and more, they're the parts techs trust. Find out more at fmmotorparts.com, and thanks for your support of these brands. Hey, don't forget to download the podcast app available on the Apple or Android platforms for any mobile device. My free app gives you instant access to all podcasts and even gives you the synopsis when you click on the I button on any episode. Search for Remarkable Results Radio in the App Store and get subscribed. It is a great listening experience, and if you have an early version of the app, say before June 2017, update to the newest. We're always looking for new listeners, so can you share this exciting venue? The more we help spread the good word, the stronger and better the industry gets. There aren't many secrets to running a great business. The problem is that not everyone has heard the secrets. The Remarkable Results Radio podcast is a very personal way to get information and learn about trends and get your own ideas. Please share the podcast with a friend, or even better, share a post in LinkedIn or Facebook, or even retweet. Hey, I'd love your connection, because connecting is easy. Just go to remarkableresults.biz/social, and everything is there on that page. My social connections, links to the App Store, my email, and links to the Town Hall Academy Live. Hey, I'd love to welcome new LinkedIn connections, Greg Bohm, Brian Dolby, Annette Kahan, and my new Facebook friends of the podcast, Ian Adamson, Brian Martin, and Michael Johnson. Thanks for your connections. By the way, there are some great technician interviews just waiting for you. Go to remarkableresults.biz and click on the technician series. Now, enjoy a discussion with Tom Lambert. He is the owner of Shade Tree Automotive in Layton, Utah. Tom has a very interesting story that started at 18 years old when his dad, who was a shade tree mechanic, part-time at home, needed a bigger place. Well, he found his bigger place and became overwhelmed and asked Tom, his son, to manage the place. See, because his dad was working full-time somewhere else. He was thrown into a situation that he didn't know much about. He'd been doing body and engine work since he was 14 years old, working at dad's garage, but leading and managing was a whole new story, and many can relate to that. Tom takes you through some of the early years, but also shares a great turning point in his business when he went to get help. He now has a $2.5 million business that is on top of its game, and he's loving it. And he's loving his business, his people, and his customers. You'll learn about the positive business culture he has built, along with his 3-year, 100,000-mile warranty, his shop apprentice, his marketing spend that brings in about 25% new customers each month, and his method of keeping focused and on track, basically getting things done, among many other great pointers in this episode. By the way, there's an extended bio on Tom and the episode talking points at remarkableresults.biz/E248. Now, here's the interview with Shade Tree Automotive's Tom Lambert. Hey, a nice warm welcome to Tom Lambert from Shade Tree Automotive in Layton, Utah. Hi, Tom.
Hey, Carm.
Good to finally talk to you. We had a great talk and learned an awful lot of great stuff about you. And of course, your dad started the business out of his house, which is how Shade Tree came about.
Yeah, pretty much. So it was actually my dad and an uncle of mine actually that used to work out of my dad's garage just as I was a kid coming up. Just, you know, obviously family and neighbors and all that just knew that they were the guys to come to if they needed something. Mom and dad moved into a nicer neighborhood, you know, up on kind of the East Bench, and kind of was getting a little bit embarrassed maybe, or just kind of sick of having, you know, broken down cars lined up in the street and in their driveway and stuff. So
yeah, and you told me dad wanted to be sure that his sons knew how to work. That's interesting.
Yeah, I'm very grateful for that. You know, so really the shop itself was opened up really just kind of as an extension of the garage. Wasn't really, Shade Tree really wasn't born necessarily to be what it is today. It was mostly just a place for them to kind of earn some funny money for the weekend, for us to go, you know, have some fun activities to do and money to spend to do it. But on top of that, you know, myself and, you know, two of my closest cousins, you know, were given the opportunity to come and learn how to work. And very grateful for that. You know?
I find your website fascinating. On the first page, on the home page, everything you'd ever possibly wanted to know about Shade Tree Automotive is there. Was that by particular design of you?
Very much so. Yeah. So I work very closely with a business advisor that is honestly one of the biggest reasons why I'm even a successful business owner now. And I've taken several marketing classes, you know, with the Institute to learn how to, you know, how to market myself properly, how to define my brand. That creative side of my brain is kind of hard to tap into. So honestly, the landing page of my website has got hours and hours of my time into that one little page. It seems crazy looking at it because it looks simple, but
no, it doesn't. But you say that you had to become a student of marketing. Did you say that?
Yep, I've taken several marketing classes. You know, done a lot of online research, kind of trying to teach myself the marketing side. Because honestly, that's my job right now. You know, I own the business, but what is my job? What is the sole task I've got is to set the vision for the company so that, you know, my whole team has a very clear path of where we're going and why and all that fun stuff. And then my second most important task is to do all the marketing for this place. It is my sole job to bring in enough customers and enough of the right customers in order for the crew to be able to reach the goals that we set, you know, daily, monthly, yearly.
Great point about bringing in new customers. Do you have a lot of churn?
We don't. Our business revolves around repeat business. I almost honestly take it as an insult if I can't keep you. Once I've met you and I'm doing work for you, I expect to do such a good job that not only you come back, but you bring your bring a friend or a neighbor or somebody with you. Now, obviously, in a perfect world, that's how it would work. But I know that you can't please everybody. You know, there's just going to flat out be some people that just don't necessarily see eye to eye. And you just, as much as you talk to one another, you just can't change their mind, you know.
So I love your conviction. I'm going to be sure you stay a customer of mine. So what makes Shade Tree Automotive different from the typical repair shop?
We actually pride ourselves on being totally different. Like I don't see myself as even having a competitor in my area because we are so different. So you pull up in our parking lot and yeah, it looks kind of what you would expect. You know, it's got the normal cars in the parking lot, normal sign and nothing extremely or out of the ordinary there. But you walk in through our office doors and it's just a totally different feel. I hire based off of a very specific culture. For me, having fun during my day is way far more important than making money. So honestly, when I'm hiring teammates, I'm actually hiring people that I enjoy their company.
You're hiring for attitude, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So very specific, fun, laid back culture here. Don't get us wrong. I mean, we're goal getters. You know, we set goals and we reach them. We're very motivated. But when you walk into our office, it almost feels like it's slow. It almost, so during our busiest day when we're doing our best, it almost feels like we're actually having a slow day when you come in our office because everything's calm. You know, we're usually, you know, goofing around with one another. You know, we've got one specific advisor that's kind of our go-to guy to kind of pick at a little bit and, you know, poke some fun and have some fun in the office, you know. So from that aspect, I feel when you walk into our office, it's just a different feel. You know, it's decorated different than the typical auto repair shop. It's warm and inviting. Believe it or not, I actually let my mom do some of the decorating.
I love the idea of decorations. Give me an idea. What is a unique decoration?
One is if you walk in the door and right to your right, there's a kid's playroom. So that we've learned that some of our best customers are women that are bringing in the cars for their family. They get a little nervous because they come in, and especially with the office being nice, you know, you kind of worry about your kids kind of running around and ransacking and touching stuff. So you walk in the door and we've got a nice little kids area for them to go and make a mess or do whatever they need to do in there while mom has the chance to get checked in without stressing out about, you know, a kid hanging off her leg while she's holding one.
So it's kind of cordoned off. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. So kids can go in there, and then you walk in a little bit further and to the left, there's a nice laid out waiting area. It's got, you know, just a nice area rug and, you know, a nice, you know, there's usually a flower display.
What other unique decoration?
We've got a nicely painted like old buffet that sits there to put our display on. So it's homey feeling. And then above and beyond just the way it looks, the most important way is just the way it feels. We're just genuinely happy to be at work. And that shows. You can only fake it so much. You know, so we make sure that our day is enjoyable, because I just am a firm believer that you just can't fake that. If people really enjoy doing what they do, it just shows, you know. So I make sure that we're all having a good time and enjoying being at work.
Here's great news. There's a new brake pad on the market that can stop a pickup SUV or CUV up to 50 feet sooner than other leading pads. And on top of that, it lasts up to twice as long as previous designs. Sound too good to be true? Well, Wagner Brake did it. They designed their new Wagner OEX brake pads that stopped up to 50 feet sooner than other leading brake pads. To prove it, they got Link Engineering, pretty much the industry standard on brake performance testing, and they got their proof. But Wagner needed more convincing. They asked 400 top technicians to put Wagner OEX pads to the test, where it matters most, in their shops and on their customers' vehicles. 99% said they saw a noticeable difference in the new brakes, and 95% said they'd likely recommend them to other service professionals for their customers. Now, soon you can get Wagner OEX brake pads in your shop. They'll be available nationwide with coverage for 95% of U.S. pickups, SUVs, and CUVs. Get the full story. Learn about the science behind Wagner OEX and check coverage. Go to WagnerBrake.com. You've always counted on Moog to keep you ahead of the pack when it comes to chassis innovation. Well, they've done it again. Most recently launched is the Moog ball joint with a pre-installed integral dust boot. It's designed exclusively for compression-loaded suspension systems, providing superior strength and durability for these types of vehicle applications. The dust boot is made from higher strength materials and comes pre-installed, saving you time because it's easier to install. It also has a larger contact area against the stud, which makes a more effective seal. For your customers, the unit uses Moog's powdered metal gusher bearing that provides longer life and controlled radial and axial movement. You get the industry's leading coverage of 10,000 SKUs, including 4,600 for foreign applications. Hey, you've been installing Moog confidently for years, and now you know why. Let's talk about love. It's amazing. I was talking just recently to someone who says, yeah, we're in the rough and tough tumble, you know, automotive aftermarket. But all over your homepage, you talk about we love our customers, we love our team, and we love the auto repair industry. And it's, I love the concept. Does it work?
It does. You know, unfortunately, our industry hasn't done the best of jobs. In my opinion, our industry hasn't done the best job of really portraying who we are and what we do. Honestly, some of the most honest, hardworking people I know are in the auto industry. But we just haven't done a good job as a whole portraying that. So I do. I love this industry. It's been good to me. Some of my favorite people are in this industry. And then, you know, on top of that, you know, I'm blessed. I've I've got great customers. You know, I enjoy almost everybody that walks in that door is just you know, generally happy to see us. We're happy to see them, and it's just nice when it works out that way. Most people don't get to assemble the team that I have. I've got some of the best people you could possibly hire, train, find anywhere. And they're all just good, humble people. Generally, when people are as good at what they do, they get a little bit of an ego. They're just a little bit rough around the edges, but we just don't have that here. You know, the culture we have here, just we're all working hard to get that goal, but we remember to stay humble, remember where we came from.
And they know you care, don't they?
I would sure hope so. I mean, that's obviously one of my my biggest tasks is to make sure people feel appreciated, you know, because I do. So
Tom, I see that you also offer free shuttle service, free loaner cars, free 24-hour towing with repairs, and a 3-year, 100,000-mile warranty. That's a big warranty.
It is, but I mean, you do a job correctly using the right technician, the right process, the right parts. Why shouldn't it last that long? You know, honestly, it doesn't always, but that's why I like it to be on my dollar when it comes back rather than the customers. You know, if I most decisions we make around here are really kind of simple. You know, you always want to put yourself in your customer's shoes. So I come in, I buy $800 worth of brake work, you know, from the shop. Great. Everything's working good. 2-3 years down the road, you know, I'm starting to notice a problem. What do you know? It's 3 years down the road, and all of a sudden I need the same part that was installed 2-3 years ago. Whereas, you know, the very first time when I bought the car, the first set lasted 5 years. I buy a set from Shatry, it only lasts 2 or 3. That would be upsetting to me, and I wouldn't want to pay for it again. So that's why, you know, we feel whatever we would want, that's what we give. That's kind of a basic, you know, kind of something we learned in, we all kind of learned that in kindergarten. You know, that's the golden rule, right?
How's it being subsidized?
With being able to market that warranty, 3-year, 100,000-mile warranty, we bring in so many more customers on the front end that if I do have to warranty some extra stuff on the back end of things, there's way more money in the budget, way more than what we need in the budget to cover what would come up, you know. So it's really not an issue. And honestly, even though our warranty's 3 times the industry norm, I really don't warranty that much work, you know. So it really hasn't been an issue.
You know, you mentioned just a bit ago about a negative connotation of our industry. Do you have any solutions at hand if you had a chance to get up in front of a conference and say, hey, this is what we need to start doing?
The number one thing I would preach to everybody is to seek training. You know, unfortunately, most shop owners have kind of become an owner through kind of an avenue similar to mine. We didn't go to all this training. We didn't go to school and to learn how to be a great business owner. We just happened to be really good at being a technician or a service advisor, and then had an opportunity arise to where we could own a business, and we jump in, you know, full-fledged and just go to work doing it without the proper training of knowing an easier way of doing things. So honestly, training for me is the key to being a good owner. And then being a good owner means you can actually run a profitable shop, have a fun culture, and it all just kind of trickles down from there. But when you're stuck in the middle and being a business owner or even an employee in a store that's struggling to get by, the culture, you know, is stressful. We just don't portray our industry the way we should when stress levels are high. When stress levels are in check, we do a pretty good job of taking the time to communicate properly. And that's really what it comes down to.
So you're really saying, because you spend time with your customers and you teach and train them and give them insights, you're really helping to improve our image.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. But it's just, you know, service advisors got what I believe to be the toughest job I've ever seen. They get pulled a lot of different directions. to where it's tough. If you overload them or don't give them the tools they need in their toolbox to perform their job, their attitude changes a little bit, and then what they're trying to portray to the customer just doesn't come off correctly. And that's kind of the general feel you get. If you travel around and I visit some of the other shops, usually when you're talking to somebody in the office, they seem stressed for time, you know, to where you almost feel like you're putting them out a little bit to spend an extra 5 minutes talking to them. Whereas in our office, that's what our job is. If a customer walks in, we want to talk to them as long as they will possibly talk to us. So generally, customers are trying to get away from us and instead of the opposite, you know. And then with that time, you can use that time to explain what we do, why we do it. And then once people understand why you're doing things a certain way, it helps not only your own individual shop, but then the industry as a whole. You know, customers walk away just understanding us a little bit better. That's really what most of it is to me, is we're just not doing a good job of helping people understand what we do and why we do it that particular way.
Great, great point. Under the service advisor that you just said is one of the toughest jobs out there. I would have to agree with you. You record their phone calls?
We sure do.
Okay. And do you spend time in that coaching moment?
You know, it's funny you ask that, because it was actually just brought to my attention. Gosh, I think it was just last week. I actually gave another shop owner that also he owns several shops as well as advises people on phone calls. I gave him access to my account to get in and listen to my phone calls. And then he called and kind of gave me some pointers of what he heard. It made me realize that, one, we do a good job, but two, we could do a better job. And three, it had been at least 4 months since I had sat down and listened to phone calls, which seemed like it had only been a couple weeks. So kind of put me in check, putting my ownership app back on and getting back to the to putting things on my schedule to make sure a whole year doesn't disappear with me letting little things slip away from me like that.
What about going to the service advisor and say, look, do me a favor. Every 2 weeks, I want you to, you know, listen to three of your calls and come to me. We'll listen to them together and tell me what you could have done to improve. Or let's just give ourselves a high five of how well you did. Is that a great discipline?
Oh yeah, very much so. But once again, it's one of those things that's extremely helpful, but important as a shop owner to make sure you put those on your schedule or write them down somewhere, or else you'll skip a week and then you skip 2 weeks. And then next thing you know, 4 months have gone by and you've got another shop owner calling to give you that kick in the pants.
There's nothing like that old personal accountability thing that just keeps getting in the way, doesn't it? Amazing. Which is probably, I mean, let's go back to this whole evolution that you had about needing a business coach. And I think you had mentioned, I kind of figured out that I had to start working on my business and not in it. Can you take me back to the moment that you finally said, I need to get some education. I need to take this more seriously as an owner than I ever have?
I feel pretty blessed in life, because I just feel like things just seem to happen at the right times for me, you know. So honestly, when I was a youngster, you know, I started managing this business when I was 18 years old. I had no business doing that. I knew how to work. I was smart, but I was 18 years old and didn't know a tenth of what I thought I knew. So back then, had I met my current business coach and he came in and told me, you're doing this wrong, you're doing that wrong, you need to do this, that, and the other, I honestly probably wouldn't have had the correct attitude to take the advice that I needed to take and move on with things. But luckily, the advisor I did meet, I got it. You know, I got invited to. It was actually a World Pack training. Got invited to that training. They finally were coming to Salt Lake City, so I didn't have to fly to, you know, the West Coast and leave for too long. But got invited to go sit down in a class. I had probably five or six things that I knew were holding our shop back, but I had no idea how to fix. I sit down in this class, and day one, I felt like the teacher was speaking directly to me. I mean, he addressed almost every concern I had and very clearly some very simple solutions of how to fix those problems I was having. And, you know, it was a 3-day class. So just day one, I came away with the answers to probably 50% of the things that were holding me back, just sitting in one class. So, and I was lucky enough to have my service advisor that is now my manager with me in class. And then I also had my dad, which was the owner at the time, sitting in class with me. So that was just that little piece that we needed to move our shop forward. We came back that Monday morning, made a few little adjustments. And I mean, month number one, not only did the shop become more profitable, but it just, the whole feeling of the shop just came up, you know, 5 or 6 notches. Just stress relief was just huge. So at that point right there, just sitting in one class and learning that many things in a 2-3 day span that could make my life that much easier, I was hooked from that point on. I signed up for every class coming to my area. I reached out to the teacher of that class and said, "Hey, I need you on my team. What do I got to do? I need more of that sought after advice that you gave me in class. I need more. What do I got to do to get more of your time?" Since then, you know, I either go to class or listen to a webinar at least once a month. I send the manager of my office to class or listen to a webinar once a month. And then my advisors, probably about every 90 days, they're sitting in a class or listen to some online webinar. So I kind of went from pretty much zero training to, all the training I can possibly get. Even if it's something I've had before, I always walk away with something that's helpful that makes my life easier.
So interesting. So interesting, Tom. If there is a top 3 takeaway of the last year for me in doing service professional entrepreneur interviews, it would be everyone says that their success really was helped in a big way by having a business coach. And if I hear you right, you are in total recommendation of having a business coach. Now, short-term, long-term, or forever?
I'm on year 4 with my business coach. I don't feel like I need him as much now on year 4. Year 1, I couldn't have survived without him. Year 2, probably couldn't have survived without him. Year 3, you know, we really kind of started to make the transition to where I was very confident in what I was doing. But now year 4, it's more of a peace of mind thing. You know, it's just nice just knowing that at the drop of an email or a phone call or a text message, you've got the best in the business in your pocket ready to help you out. You know, you just need that confident individual on your team. I couldn't preach that enough.
You mentioned earlier Institute. Is that Cecil Bullard?
Yeah.
Got it. Good. Okay. You were talking about profitability just a moment ago, and I think you had told me that that's one of the industry's biggest problems.
It is. We all want to please everybody. And for some reason, our industry thinks that our customers only care about price. Over the past 4 years, I have proven that the customers don't care about price, but they do care about value. If you're going to charge, you know, $5-$10 more than somebody that you would maybe consider your competitor, you better be doing a good job of explaining to your customer why you are worth that $5 to $10 more than your competitor. And that's all they want. They just want to know why. If you are a little bit more money, they just want to understand why. You just make sure you're worth more money, you know.
We did a Town Hall Academy on quality controls. Do you have a QC process?
I wouldn't with 100% confidence say that we have a very specific process. Each technician is accountable 100% for diagnosing and repairing vehicles properly. It's 100% the technician's responsibility to do that. We don't really interfere in that too much. We do have a couple of very helpful things that we haven't always had that kind of helps with quality. One is we've in the last year hired a shop foreman. that is paid in a little bit different way than the typical flat technician, so that he is kind of available for a technician to reach out to if needed without hurting his paycheck. And then I've also just actually in the last few months hired a shop helper slash apprentice that is extremely overqualified for the job that I hired him to do. He's paid by the hour to just kind of pick up the slack wherever he possibly can. Silly tasks like driving the shuttle, you know, organizing the loaner car fleet, you know, emptying a garbage can, all the little 5 minutes here and there things that can kind of slow down your technician's day. But on top of that, he's also available to do extended test drives that need to be done, so that if we've got a drive cycle that needs to be done to ensure the check engine light doesn't come on, I've got a guy that's getting paid by the hour to go sit in that seat rather than sending out my, you know, flat rate guy that needs to be in a stall, you know, producing more work for me. So that's kind of really boosted our quality. Just being able to have somebody that isn't worried about earning their flat rate, that can be sitting in a customer seat for an extended amount of time just to make sure, you know, that that everything's going to be okay when we hand over keys to the customer.
You told me that maintenance is about 35% of your overall work. Do you see it growing?
I do see it growing. We actually have very specific talks about that. I think I might be on the low end of maintenance in the industry. I don't know what the exact number is. We are big on maintenance, but we get a very high amount of repair here as well. And there's very specific reasons why we do that. Just the way we've marketed our business in the past has just brought a large number of repairs into our facility, which is nice. You know, it's a little bit easier to sell a repair than it is to sell, you know, say preventative maintenance. You know, if your car's broken down and coming in on a tow truck, chances are you're going to buy whatever it takes to make it run to where you can drive it again. Whereas, you know, if you've got a car that's just about to turn 60,000 miles and needs some servicing just to prevent problems in the future, it's still very important, but it doesn't rank quite as high in a customer's eyes as, you know, getting their car back on the road. So it is a little easier to sell a repair than maintenance, even though maintenance in our eyes is just as important. So.
Are you paying for technician training, Tom?
We do. We pay for whatever training they want to receive. We pay for their time while they're doing the training. Yes, it's very important to me.
Any bonus if they hit so many hours a year?
I haven't instilled that yet. You know, one of the trainers with the Institute is very big on training, and he does that in his facility. I think that's a good idea, but I have not added that into our technicians' pay plans as of now. But once again, I'm kind of blessed. I'm kind of lucky. If I my teammates, if I ask them to do a training, they just do it, you know, and they're happy to do it. I don't really have to incentivize them to do it. We're all professionals here. We're all motivated to be the best at what we do. So more often than not, they're coming to me to ask, hey, I seen this training online. Can I go to it? And yeah, here's my credit card, sign up, and, you know, let's mark you off that day on the calendar kind of thing. So
any process or system that you've improved lately?
The latest process we actually improved was our scheduling, believe it or not. It seems simple. We just use a simple Google calendar for our appointments, and we've got different colors. A basic appointment would be an oil service, or we have safety and emissions here in our state and county to register your vehicle, or what we call a health check. So like if a customer's getting ready to buy a vehicle, we want to perform a health check on it to determine, one, if it's worth buying, and two, if they do buy it, what they need to plan for as far as maintenance costs in the first year. So we only take so many of those, so we'll mark those appointments with, say, a blue color. Easy, you know, kind of basic diagnostic jobs, we will mark a green color, and kind of more heavier diagnostic jobs, we'll mark like a yellow or something. So basically we try to keep the proper amount of work coming in every day and the proper mix of work coming in every day. Because that's one of the biggest things of staying profitable is obviously if you do oil changes all day, you're going to be having a terrible looking ARO and profit might be a little funny looking. If you do four engines in a day, obviously that's going to swing it the other way. You know, the ARO is going to look good, but profitability is going to be bad. So we really try to really keep the correct amount of cars coming and the right kinds of appointments coming every day. So we have the right mix. So yeah, we actually just recently had to amend that process so it wasn't as much of a free-for-all between the four of us in the office picking and choosing who we put on what day. We found ourselves taking a really high amount of phone calls this summer, which has been great. And we really were starting to overbook our days, which is an all right problem to have. But when it comes to taking care of customers the way we want to, we don't want to overpromise. So we actually had to actually back off about four or five appointments a day and really kind of to teach ourselves to be a little bit more focused on controlling that schedule a little bit. So
I've heard a quote, less is more. It makes a lot of sense in your case. In this, you know, here it is. You've got a great system, but you need a process around it. Hey, you're the sales and marketing guy. Any success or struggle to implement any sales and marketing initiative?
No, that's actually an area that has been going extremely well. The toughest part for me, honestly, was just to let go of the money. Marketing to me, even as recent as a couple years ago, seemed like kind of like gambling, you know. My business coach and all the classes I've been going to teaches me to spend, you know, a very specific percentage of my total sales on marketing. In my case, that's about $10,000 every month is what I'm supposed to be spending. That was tough for me. I'm a little bit of a gambler, but I'm more of a $100 gambler, not thousands of dollars gambler. So it was tough for me to spend that money and dedicate that money to spend on marketing without having a very specific number of what was coming back in those dollars. So we really had to sharpen up our tracking on it. We track and ask every customer, how did you hear from us? And then in our management system, we have a way to put that in so that I know how many customers I bring in off of Google, how many customers I bring in off of Yelp, how many customers I bring off my Facebook page, how many customers I bring off my mailers I send out. So then as I see those numbers, I see, okay, I'm spending $10,000 doing, you know, these five things. And then at the end of the month, I could say, okay, that $10,000 brought me in $60,000 worth of new customers this month. Then it makes it a little easier to invest that money.
So you're really working very hard to find a good ROI for each investment.
Yeah, and honestly, they all work together. So take, for instance, my direct mailers. I spend and have been spending about $3,000 to $4,000 every month on direct mail. Seems way behind the times. Seems almost crazy to me even saying it.
I'm still getting them at home. I'm getting four or five a month.
But you can't just do it. You can't just send out a mailer and expect them to perform. You have to be very specific about the design of the mailer, who you're sending them to, and the message that's coming across. And then it has to work hand in hand with all your other marketing that you've got going on. So if I was to look into my computer program under how much sales I've done off of people that specifically told me they found me off the mailer, it looks like I throw away several thousand dollars every month in doing direct mail. But if you look through my Google Analytics and you look at the dates that my direct mailers hit mailboxes and then look at this huge spike I get in people visiting my website, it is obvious that when people are getting my direct mailer, they're jumping on my website and they're researching me and they're finding me. The bad thing or the tough thing is you can very say they came in because the mailer. They'll usually tell me they found me on Google because they get the mailer and then it prompts them to jump on Google. But it has proven itself that when I do send out those mailers, I get a lot of impressions on my website the week that they hit mailboxes. You know, I get on average 20 to 25% new customers every month coming into my facility based off of the marketing attempts that I'm doing. So, and that's what the goal is. The goal is 20% or higher. We exceed that and have been exceeding that for approximately 2 years now.
So. Good for you. Good for you. Hey, overall, Tom, where are you getting your big ideas?
You know, I would probably say my team. You know, I've got a lot of like minds in this, in under this roof, and then I've got a lot of different minds under this roof. One of my biggest key players is Lisa. She manages my office. She's got a very similar mind to mine in some areas, and then very different point of view in many others. So I tap into that, honestly. You know, having a woman in my office is huge to me. You know, you just, it's just a totally different point of view from that aspect alone. And then the other part is, you know, she's only been in our industry for about 5 years. So it's nice to have a point of view. She can kind of still tap into mindsets of before she got sucked into this auto industry. Some of us have been in it so long that it's kind of tough to think outside the box when we've been in the box for so long, you know?
Hey, you got a morning ritual, you know, what do you do in the first 60 minutes that really helps set your day?
First 60 minutes for me is I've got to get my list going. It's very easily for me to get distracted and start doing the things that I want to do rather than the things that I should be doing. So for me, I have to, within really the first probably 20 minutes, I've got to start writing me a list of things that I have to get done today. And then once the list is made, then I go back through and I start numbering what order I'm going to do those in. And then once I've got that list and it's in order, I'm very motivated to cross things off on that list. I don't like my list sitting there. So it almost bothers me if I can't start lining through some of those. So that's most important for me. I've got to line up, write down what I need to do, and I prioritize first thing or else just the day happens, you know. So.
Been there, done that. I know exactly what you mean. Exactly. Hey, I have so enjoyed this. Give us a great quote you live by, something you think of often.
I don't really have an exact quote, but you know, I refer back to things we've learned in kindergarten quite often, just because it's funny to me how we forget the basics. But treat others the way you want to be treated is one I bring up a lot, and the other is simply do what you say you're going to do. It's kind of sad that I can win over most customers by simply doing what I tell them I'm going to do. It seems simple, but a lot of us get busy and we forget that simple rule of just simply that. Tell somebody what you're going to do and then you do it. And that simple thing alone tends to impress people.
So. Hey, thanks for being here. Refreshing interview. Love your passion. Great business. Tom Lambert, Chatree Automotive in Layton, Utah. Thanks for being on.
Yeah, thanks, Carm.
Hey, thanks, Tom Lambert, for your story. One that many aftermarket professionals can relate to, and one where we heard of your determined path toward remarkable results. Hey, there's an extended bio on Tom and the episode talking points at remarkableresults.biz/E248. And don't forget to get your uptake on every Town Hall Academy forum. Every episode is available in podcast form for you. Find them on your podcast app or on the Academy page on my website. Always appreciative for your involvement in the podcast. Every interview and Academy lesson is there for your edification. Hey, I'm grateful and thankful for your support.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.